good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora, and good morning, listeners. Sounds like a showery week ahead of us. Wow. And it's tough, isn't it, this lockdown stuff? If you're a regular listener here on Community Conversations on a Thursday morning, great to have your regular company. If you're a first-time listener this morning, and a big shout-out to Rebecca from Lifeline, who just called in, great to have your company as well. For all the people out there in the vineyards in the Yarra Valley who are finishing off their pruning, hopefully, getting organised for bud burst in about 2 to 3 weeks' time. Hope it's going well. Hope the showers stay away for you today. Lots going on. I went to get a coffee this morning in the coffee shop nearby here where I go every morning, and shock, horror, it was closed for 2 weeks. And I guess that's the experience of a lot of us at the moment. Very different times, aren't they? And very, very different times. Look, 75 years ago today, the Second World War was effectively ended, and the RSL celebrated 100 years last month. Those were difficult times too, but in many cases, I guess we're looking at the pandemic being a 1-in-100-year event, and that the times that happened post-World War I in the 1920s are not so dissimilar from the 2020s and how we've started this decade. How are you going? How are you, how are your family, how are your friends coping with these very challenging times? I know it's not easy. I'm certainly finding it tough. I've just had a couple of weeks' holiday, but I couldn't actually leave the property. And even this program is coming to us via Zoom, of course. My very special guest all the way from North Queensland this morning, where she is. She's already told me what the temperature is up there, but I'm not going to repeat it for listeners. Megan Buntine. Megan, lovely to have your friendly face on the screen there. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me once again, zooming in. Isn't technology wonderful?
It absolutely is. And so there are some benefits, aren't there? We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But there are some benefits of this pandemic stuff and us learning new ways of working and new ways of interacting and so on. Megan, you've been on the road for a little while. You managed to escape Victoria, dare I say, probably the wrong term, but some of the songs that we've selected this morning reflect that. The opportunity for you to travel, it was your annual holidays, and you just fortunately happened to be on the road in Queensland before the lockdown.
Well, yeah, we were pretty lucky. We left Victoria just after the first round of restrictions was lifted for a 5-week road trip through New South Wales in the caravan, and as things progressed in Victoria, our holiday has been extended a couple of times, so we're feeling very fortunate to be up here in the warm in winter and have our freedom, and we feel very much for all our friends and family back home going through what you're all going through down there and doing it a bit tough. So.
Yes, we'll edit that warm bit out of this program, Megan, because as you've just heard from the amazing forecast from Cora, that it's a very showery, wet and fairly cool week here in the Yarra Valley.
I know, and our friends who are staying at our place at the moment sent us photos last week. It was actually snowing at home, so there you go.
Yes, we did have a little bit of hail here in the valley even last week, so very scary. Hey, we've chosen for our theme this morning managing crises. That's very appropriate, isn't it? And continuity planning, and how do we make plans in the face of really uncertain times? Megan, an interesting topic for these times, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was worth having a chat about, given what's going on. And I think it's something that in recent years certainly in my experience, has become more to the forefront. People and organisations are thinking much more about crisis planning and business continuity planning, because we have faced some pretty serious issues. You know, I'm thinking back to the 2009 Victorian bushfires and now what everyone's going through, well, worldwide really, around the pandemic. So it's about how do we position our organisations so that when things do get tough, we can still continue in some way that still delivers on that, the important things that we do for our community through the purposes of our organisation, you know, whatever it is that we do to add value. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's just another element. It's part of good risk management to make sure you've got these things in place so that if something goes wrong, you can continue as best as possible.
Certainly can. And the work of volunteers and service organisations and health professionals and organisations like Lifeline are doing an amazing job supporting us and supporting our communities at this time, as we're all really feeling it right now, particularly here right in Melbourne. Let's have your first song, Megan. I've noticed a bit of a theme on the songs that you shared with us this morning. The first one's Queen, Want to Break Free. And I think we've got Jailhouse Rock a little bit later on. I reckon there's a bit of a theme there that has...
Yeah, I sort of thought a bit of a lockdown theme, but without rubbing it in too much that I have broken through.
There we go.
I want to.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My very special guest, who usually lives in Buxton, just up the road, is currently all the way up in North Queensland, in, I think, near Ingham. Is that right, Megan?
Yeah, at the beautiful little town of Forest Beach, about 14 k's east of Ingham. It's lovely.
Wow, there you go. I've never been there, so look forward to that when we're able to travel again. And some very challenging times, and what better time, if there is one, to talk about crisis, dealing with crises and thinking about continuity for your organisation out there. And I suppose traditionally, Megan, you know, we've thought about crises on a personal note as being things, you know, they have that scale, don't they, that the impact scale that sees death as the highest level, and then relationship breakdown, I think, and moving house and moving job, a new job or something like that, as being, you know, significant events that cause significant stress, if you like. But we're talking about businesses now and the things that cause businesses, organisations, community groups to be in crisis or to need to plan for continuity. What typically, I mean, we've got the obvious ones, but let's talk about the less obvious. We've got bushfires, we've mentioned, we've got a pandemic we're facing. What are the other typical crises that might, you know, come along for an organisation?
Yeah, I think common ones that I see are when organisations have personnel changeover. So if they're volunteer organisations, it might be that, you know, key people within the committee of management or the board leave, and, you know, how that's managed. I think that all comes down to succession planning too. But also it could be that, you know, if you're lucky enough to have an organisation that has paid staff as well, if, you know, some of your key staff move on, how you manage through those sorts of times so that the continuity is maintained, so that the organisation doesn't suffer and the good work that you do and the value that you add to the community isn't put on hold or compromised because there's changes and crises of some sort going on within the organisation.
Yes, and typically in these times, I mean, the word I'm getting from not-for-profit organisations and you working with them all the time, Megan, is that, you know, the risks, if you like, around this are with their staff, as you've just mentioned. They're around financial sustainability. They're around, you know, changed way of working and, you know, how are they connecting with their volunteers and their supporters and their members and all of that? Those are some of the challenges, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, making sure that you've got good connection with your stakeholders during times of crisis is really important. So that good communication. And, you know, I think that if we look to what's happening in Australia at the moment, the way the politicians on all sides, I think, are communicating really effectively when things are happening, they're standing up, they're having press conferences. It seems that the more serious things get, the more frequent the press conferences are becoming. And I think that that's something to really look to, and even though it's often not great news it's been given, but it's at least the communication is there and we're getting updates as to what's going on. So I think that we need to take a similar approach within our organisations, and if things are going bad, we let our stakeholders know, we keep them in the loop so that at least they feel consulted and part of the process. And I think too, to a certain degree, that can also help stop the rumour mill running rife and misinformation getting out there, which can cause all sorts of dramas as well. But I think the key to, well, any sort of planning really, is that you do it before the event. So whether it's the bushfire, you know, your bushfire safety plan that you're putting in place at home, or your business continuity plan that you're putting in place in the workplace or for your community organisation, particularly for those organisations that provide essential services like, you know, disability support or aged care or childcare or SES, CFA, all sorts of organisations that are there that are needed just regardless of what the crisis climate is. Sure you're thinking in advance about what needs to happen.
So you're thinking prevention and preparation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Megan, yeah. A big shout out to the Healesville Community Bushfire Safety Group, and they're doing just that to Kathy and Lawrence and Derek and Joy and Karen and all that group, because they are doing just that, Megan. They are having conversations across the community in terms of, you know, what about the next bushfire? How can we be better prepared for the next one? You know, even though in the middle of winter, in a very wet winter here at the moment, bushfires seem a long way away.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, you see that coming out of the CFA as well. So around about October time, they really start ramping up the communications and the media, and, you know, now's the time to start thinking about your evacuation plan, your bushfire survival plan, making sure those things are all up to date and ready for the season ahead. So you're doing that stuff, as you say, proactively before you need it, because in the time of crisis, you're not going to be thinking as clearly necessarily as what you would ordinarily. So get everything in place while you've got a clear mind and you can think about all the eventualities and how you would respond to different. It's about scenario planning, really, thinking about, okay, what are the different scenarios that could play out in any sort of circumstance, and how would we want to best respond to those to get the best outcomes for our organisation and the people that we serve.
That's great. Great advice. You're listening to Megan Buntine from MJB Consulting. If you want more information from Megan, or make contact with her, or look at some of the amazing free resources she has on her website, you can just go to mjbconsulting.net.au, and there's a whole lot of amazing resources there for not-for-profit community groups, for organisations around governance and strategic planning and workshops and all sorts of things. Megan, we'll talk more about this after your, well, I just love your next selection, which of course is Jailhouse Rock.
Swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Everybody in old cell block was dancing to the jailhouse rock. Spider Murphy played his inner saxophone. Little Joe was blowing on the slide trombone. The drummer boy from Illinois would crash, boom, bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple gang. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Come on and do the jailhouse rock with me. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Everybody in the old cell block, we'll dance to the jailhouse rock. Rock, rock, rock. Sad Sack was sitting on a block of stone. And he said, nix, nix, I wanna stick around a while to get my kicks. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Everybody in old cell block, we're dancing through the jail, let it rock. 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 Dancing through the jail, let it rock.
And great to have your company here on Community Conversations here on a Thursday morning in the middle of winter. Well, we're not so far away from spring, are we? We've got high expectations for September, haven't we? We're hoping to get out of lockdown. We're hoping to have some warmer weather. We're hoping to see some flowers bloom. At the moment, though, it's very challenging times. We've got a conversation this morning around crisis management and planning and continuity and how do we navigate these very challenging times. Before we continue our conversation, just to flag that after 10 o'clock this morning, we have our Young Leaders Program with Cora's on, and we've got students who are going to be interviewing the dingo keeper at Healesville Sanctuary. There you go. That'll be fascinating. And then after 11 o'clock, we have Art Journal with, again with Cora. She's going to be speaking with Luke Sinclair from Sticky Institute, and Emma Davidson all the way from Sydney talking. She's from Other Worlds Zinzi Bar. So there you go. And a great opportunity to link in there after 11. Megan, all the way from Ingham in Queensland, not really, lives in Buxton here in the Yarra Valley, but currently on holidays. We are all very envious, Megan. We're talking about, you know, how do we plan when we don't really know all the boundaries? We don't know how long we're going to be in lockdown. We don't know, you know, the extent of the downturn, the impact. We don't know what different ways of working might result in. How do we navigate, Megan, how do we navigate it when there's so many uncertainties, so many unknowns?
Yeah, look, I think there's no silver bullet. There's no easy answer to that. You just got to do the best you can. I think it's about good scenario planning, really sitting down thinking about what are the what ifs? What are the things that we can reasonably anticipate or imagine? So I think it's important to have more than one person thinking through these sorts of things, bring the team together and come up with everyone's input. I mean, I think
that we can still do that on Zoom, can't we, Megan?
Indeed, we can. I think back to when we first moved up to Buxton, and you know, one of the things that we thought was important back then was coming up with some sort of an emergency bushfire management plan. So we did that. We got the local CFA educator over to come consult with us. We thought about things. We thought about the different scenarios that might happen, and came up with some ways that you could respond to those things to sort of best position yourself to withstand that. Now, it's really interesting that a fellow who I know up at Buxton, who he works in kidnap and ransom all over the world, he does some pretty high-level strategic work.
That'd be tough stuff.
Yeah, and not only the strategic stuff in advance, but when it actually comes down to the wire and somebody's unfortunately been taken, he does the negotiations and all these sorts of things. So, you know, he's really used to dealing with the pointy end of when things have gone terribly wrong. But interestingly, you know, he said to me post 2009 bushfires that he hadn't actually imagined the possibility of a bushfire coming through and how to prepare for that and what to do there. So, you know, it just goes to show that we're all going to have blind spots. There's things that we're not going to anticipate. I know certainly in our fire planning that when it came down to the wire and we had to implement it, there were things that we hadn't considered that we just had to wing it on the day. But the more thought I think you can put into what could go wrong and how you would manage that crisis, the better position you're going to be able to come out the other side of it reasonably unscathed. And that all still goes back to then being able to deliver whatever it is that you do to add value to your community.
You were sharing with me, Megan, yesterday about a useful way of approaching these things is to think about what ifs. And I suppose if I could throw some what ifs at you, listeners this morning, what if COVID continues all the way through to 2021? What if we lose our volunteers for our organisation? You know, what if we lose our funding? What if we have to close our op shop? What if we lose a key person, etc.?
Yeah, what if we don't come up with a vaccine? You know, that's a scary prospect too. I think that, you know, pivot has become the buzzword for 2020. So I think pivoting for individuals and organisations is really critical. You know, how do we think about things differently? If you look at a number of organisations and businesses during the first restrictions period, I guess, they looked at how they were doing things within their organisations, manufacturing, home delivery, restaurants, they all looked at different ways of doing their business. So thinking about for your community organisation, you know, if at the end of the day you're trying to support people, for example, who have a disability, you know, how can we do that differently? Still achieving the same objective but doing it differently, whether it's through, there's a psychologist who I know who works with people who have autism, and he's using Zoom to consult with his clients, and that's actually working far better for those clients because they are quite uncomfortable having to go into his office, meet with him face-to-face, have that sort of conversation, whereas on the computer it's far less threatening and stressful for them. So you know, there's an example of how we can pivot the way we do the work that we do so that we can give people the same outcome through different means.
And that's what they're doing with, like, telehealth and that too, Megan, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. I think telehealth has really come into its own. I saw that when I was on the hospital board prior to COVID. It was there and it was a bit clunky and you know, there were some challenges around using it, whereas now all of a sudden it's there and we're using it to its best, well, its current best ability. I saw a quote the other day, I can't remember who it was from, but it was basically saying, never waste a good crisis. You know, if the crisis comes along, where's the silver lining? What can we get out of this positive that we can take forward?
Yeah, and I think that's a great reminder, Megan, that we are learning things, even subconsciously. We are learning new ways of working, new ways of relating. We have opportunities, as you said at the beginning, to link with people via Zoom and using technology that we hadn't even thought about before, you know, that as we go through this, as we come out the other end, and we will, you know, the world will be different, but perhaps we will be more resilient and we will be stronger and able to cope better with some things.
Indeed. I also, another phrase that I like is the old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes, very good. Hey, we've got another one of your songs here. Would you like to introduce for us Black and Blue by Chain? I can't say I know this one.
I think you'll probably know it when you hear it. It's an Aussie classic song from a great Aussie band, and it's really about oppression and being on the chain gang, and you won't get me down even when you've beaten me black and blue.
Fantastic.
You work me so hard that my back's near broke. My brow is wet and my throat's a choke. You send me hell for 10 long years. I miss my whiskey and I miss my beer. Ain't seen a gal since I don't know when. And the way you treat me, won't see one again. You broke my head and I spat on a guard. That don't make me no better, it just made me hard. Your water stinks cause it comes from above. And the food you serve us ain't fit for dogs. Black and blue.
everything. I'm white.
And you're with Community Conversations here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for your company this morning. If you have joined us for the first time, we really value your, well, your listening along. And if you are involved in a community group, an organisation somewhere out there, and you'd like to tell your story on air, we'd love to hear from you too. So we do have some vacancies coming up on programs, so just get in touch with the station and we'll slot you in there somewhere. My very special guest this morning is Megan Buntine. If some of the things that Megan has been saying this morning resonate with you, or you'd like to know more, or you'd like to see some of the amazing resources she's got, go onto her website, www.mjbconsulting, all one word, .net.au, and you can get those resources there. Find out more about what Megan does to support community groups and organisations. Megan, following the bushfires in 2009, which seem a long way away at times, and other times they're not so long ago at all, Rivers and Ranges community leadership was set up. Do you want to? You were involved in that, weren't you?
Yeah, so in the early days, back in about 2012, a group of us came together to establish a leadership program across the areas that I guess were worst hit by the 2009 bushfires, because there was nothing at that time currently in place. And it was recognised that when you have a program like that in place, you build up a base of alumni, of leaders who've been through a program like that, who in times of crisis can step up and support community, can support each other. So I think, encouraging that networking and that collaboration, partnershiping, you know, working with others in a time of crisis is good in terms of sharing ideas, sharing support, just in terms of, mutual support for each other. And you talked about resilience before. I think it's all tied up in that together. So getting involved in programs like that, Rivers and Ranges has recently actually wound up, but there's a group that are looking at establishing something in that space again. So I think it's important to have that that alumni and that network that you can tap into, and even for people who are not part of the alumni, but just having that that organisation as a resource in your area that you can tap into in times of need.
Because, Megan, sometimes in times of crisis and difficulty and challenge, as we are with the pandemic at the moment, that we do actually tend to withdraw into ourselves, or we sort of put the walls up around our group to try and protect us, or in some ways, rather than actually reach out and say, you know, who can we work with and support each other, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I think some of the groups in and around Healesville that provide emergency relief are a great example of that, how they work together. The churches all come together through HICI and do some fabulous work supporting the vulnerable people within the community. So I think that's a really good example of collaboration and working together to achieve what is essentially all of our purpose and desire, to see people supported when they're having a tough time.
And some of the environmental groups do the same, Megan. And we should say a veil to Maureen Bond, who passed away last week, an absolute stalwart of the Healesville and the Yarra Valley community in the environmental space, was involved in HUE, the Healesville Environmental Watch organisation, for many, many years. In fact, over 30 years with that organisation. Fantastic. She will be very missed.
Indeed, she will.
Yes. Megan, you run workshops to support community groups and organisations. And what have you found? What have you learned? What have you discovered from those workshops that's been useful in about 30 seconds? I just realised I've had the wave from my producer here. So we might have to leave that thought for the next time. Gosh, that's a bit cruel, isn't it?
Not to worry.
There you go. Listeners, we have just about ran out of time because Cora needs to get ready for her Young Leaders program after the 10 o'clock news. But it's wonderful having your company. Megan, it's wonderful to have you zooming in all the way from Ingham in Queensland, and to be able to talk about continuity planning and crisis management. 30 seconds to finish off, Megan.
I guess as much as we've talked about doing it proactively, I think when you find yourself in the middle of it and there's things you haven't anticipated, just do the best you can.
There you go. Megan, thank you once again. Cora, thanks for being our amazing producer. And again, if you're a community group, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget about the free webinar next Thursday, the 20th of August, that's being hosted by the Healesville Community Bank for community groups. If you want to know more about that, just let us know. And, well, looking at the clock here, it's 10:46 on Thursday, the 13th. Of August, and it's been great to have that conversation. Megan, safe travels. We do hope that you'll get back to Victoria sometime soon, sometime in the next six
Thank
weeks.
You.
And for all of us who are doing it tough out there, remember to keep talking, keep that communication up that Megan spoke about, and look for partners and allies and people that you can work with in these very, very challenging times. I've enjoyed being a part of the program this morning. I hope you have too, and we look forward to your company again at the same time next week, 9 o'clock, here for Community Conversations.